A new year, and the media always like to trot out the best of award shows and retrospective looks back. Okay, we're players. We'll play too. For the next hour, from the press box to press row, we'll be looking back at some of the highlights of our short time on the air. And because he's sitting behind the good mic in a custom-fit blazer, here's your host, Donald Ware.
It's the annual year-end review show here on Box to Row and Radio Boss. I'm your host, Donald Ware. Thank you to those listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 141 and Sirius XM Channel 142. This is our 20th year-end review show. It started back in 2005, was the very first one, and so it's something, it's fun. And the thing about it, it's really fun to take a listen back to some of the great conversations that we've had over the each year, and in particular for 2024. So we kicked off 2024 like this. We had hip-hop royalty on the program, Dame Dash and Freeway joined us on the program. And Dame I asked Dame about his legacy. What did he want his legacy ultimately to be?
I want to be known as an industry conqueror, you know, and I want to be mentioned in the same words as Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar, Malcolm X, Farrakhan, you know, people that are known for having courage and fighting, but also want to be in the Elon Musk category as well. So it's like, I'm trying to be in a category I don't think that exists, because sometimes people that do one thing aren't good at others, but I'm kind of good at a lot of different things. And, you know, it's been years. I can't even believe it's been so long, because when you're having fun, life really goes fast. And, you know, I just want to be known as never playing myself. You know, like there's a young Dame, like Champagne Dame, and then there's Dusko Poppington. And both are equally important. Both are equally cool. Both are equally tasteful. But, you know, one has to be more evolved than the other, because one has been here longer, and that's Dusko. You know, I want to be known as the best father on the planet. You know, there's so many things. You know, I want a Nobel Peace Prize, but I really want to do it for making some kind of peace. You know, I got my doctorate now. I'm Dr. Dame Dash, and I got kicked out of school. I got my GED. So I'm re-engineering everything in the way people, you know, remember things, and having a network make sure that my likeness and that my history and the narrative of my history is preserved. That was the purpose of the television network. So the way I go down in history will be architected by me, and those visuals will be there. I have the receipts. So I guess conqueror for love. That might be the one.
Dr. Dame Dash, and actually also Freeway, joining us on the program, Hip Hop Royalty. That was in January, as we now move to the month of February. BMF, one of the hottest shows on TV. We had a chance to catch up with one of, if not the star of BMF, Lil Meech, joined us back in February. And one of the questions I asked him was how he was able to get the role playing that of his real life father.
In Atlanta, told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, two times a day, and I only had about a year and a few months to learn how to act before I had to audition in front of stars, and they were either going to say yes or no. You know, so it was a crazy experience. You know, I never imagined myself acting before this. You know, it was just like thrown in my lap. But once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know. So once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV, you know, and opportunity passed me by. So I just buckled down and focused, man, and put everything to the side. Made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focused on being the best possible actor I can be, you know, for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
Last thought, how much love were you getting before this role, and how much love are you getting now? And did you foresee this BMF being as big as it is?
I did not know it was going to be this big. I always knew it was going to be huge, but I didn't know it was going to be astronomical, like, you know, the way we're heading. What was the first question you asked him?
Yeah, I mean, what did you, were you getting a lot of, I'm sure you were getting a lot of love before this role.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've always gotten love, like Big Me's son, but since the show has gotten on television, it's been 100 times. You know, I can barely go to the gas station now or to get something to eat, you know, without the whole restaurant or the whole store, you know, stopping me, trying to take pictures, and I love it. It's that shows me and tells me that, you know, we're doing something right. Like, this is a show that was needed for the culture. Everybody watches BMF. That's what matters the most. That means we're killing it.
Lil Meech joining us back in February, and BMF is definitely must watch television. As we move, or excuse me, as we continue in the month of February, reality star entrepreneur Claudia Jordan joined us on the program. Had a really interesting conversation with Claudia Jordan. She talked about being from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island's like a little melting pot as far as like we have a little bit of everybody in, it's like a little mini New York, which I did like that. We have really, really, really good food in Rhode Island and lots of coastline. I didn't realize how good our food was until I left and went to other places where people said, no, we got the best seafood. I'm like, nah, you don't. We do, because we get that fresh lobster right out the ocean, clams, crab, all that right out of the ocean. Like, we get it right there. And I love the food in Rhode Island. Really good stuff.
Well, now, I'm not going to dispute the overall seafood with you, but now, I'm from Maryland. Now, you don't get crabs as good as in Maryland. You know what I mean?
First of all, that's a lie. I feel like you guys really brag on your crab. I would beg to differ. I would beg to challenge Maryland into a crab off, because I feel like we have better crab.
Two last thoughts. What do you remember most about being on Celebrity Apprentice?
That show was hard. Donald Trump at the time, that's before he got into politics, so he wasn't the abomination that he has turned into now. He was actually kind of cool back then. And during my time on the show is when he started turning on Obama. And I told him that I was definitely an Obama supporter. And even just being an African-American in America, I don't care if you don't like his policies. Just the historical context, the accomplishment of being the first black man to get the Democratic nomination and then become president. Like, I wasn't trying to hear him slander him. So I was like, shut the hell up. Like, I definitely stopped rocking with him after he was obsessed with Obama, you know? So that was the end of our friendship. I stopped talking to him. He used to call me all the time, and we used to actually be really friends, but I didn't like the way he was disparaging and trying to kind of imply that Barack Obama was not deserving of the presidency, that he was somehow not a citizen of the state. And that's the scare tactic they use, trying to make the black man the big black boogie monster. You know, he's not one of us. And I don't like it. So, yeah, I'm cool on that.
No doubt. Last thought. Are you into sports? Are you a big sports fan?
I am. I used to be a huge Patriots fan, but once Tom Brady was left, I feel like I don't really have a team. But I still root for the Celtics and the Patriots, and sometimes Dallas. Who's your team?
Washington Commanders, no doubt. Wizards, anything DC, that I'm all about it.
I'm so sorry about the Commanders. I mean, the Wizards. I just looked at the record. I think you guys are 9-46.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I have a friend. Well, anyways, I hope you guys turn that season around.
Conversation with Claudia Jordan from February. By the way, the Wizards still aren't doing well at all. Let's move to the month of March. Had a chance to catch up with WWE superstar Nia Jax. It's interesting. Rhea Ripley's the champ, right? No doubt about it. You know the match I want to see, even though she's not the champion? I want to see you and Bianca Belair. That's the matchup. I mean, Rhea Ripley, Aubrey, That's the matchup I think we need to see.
You just, I have goosebumps on my neck when you said that. You know, Bianca and I have never had a chance to go one-on-one, and she is such a strong, amazing woman. And, you know, watching her career and her title reigns, it's been amazing. But I don't think she's ever faced anybody like Nia Jax. You know, like somebody who is, I mean, I'm 6 feet tall and I'm a big girl. I'm just as strong, if not stronger. It would be difficult for her to stand up against somebody like me. And I think it would be a very amazing challenge for her. And I believe the crowd would love to see that kind of challenge for her. But I mean, they'd be disappointed because I would, you know, squash her. But I would love to get in the ring with Bianca Belair. She's incredible. The man would have been squashed again.
Nia, can you speak to, you were doing this consecutively, if you go back to 2014 when you started, and it's all in the family for you, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. You had been in WWE on the main roster, shall we say, since 16. Then you took some time away in 2021. What led to that decision?
Well, I just think, you know, at that point, I was having a rough time of trying to balance things within myself. And, you know, if anybody knows anything about WWE, there's no off season. You know, we go 300 days a year and we have a live show every week, if not two live shows every week, if you're on both, and then you got live events. And so it's very nonstop, go, 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 go. And I think I just needed some time to reset myself and refocus. And it was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I say that to anybody who's ever asked me that question. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me to be able to sit back and really focus on my my relationship with God and get back to who I am. And then coming back with like an even stronger outlook and a perspective.
WWE superstar Nia Jax again joining us back in March. You've got it locked to Box to Rose Year End Review Show Part 1. I'm your host, Donald Ware. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Going to step aside, take our first break, come back. We're going to continue in the month of March some wonderful conversations we had right here on Box to Rose 2024 Year End Review Show.
We're looking back from the press box to press row. So, it's about time Donald and the gang straighten up the studios. We'll do that and be right back with more from the press box to press row.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
The best and brightest of the sports world are with us every week from the press box to press row. But don't take our word for it. Sit back and enjoy more of our look on the air with Donald Ware.
Welcome back to Box to Rose 2024 Year End Review Show. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and yours. You know, this is our 20th show, 20th time we've done a Year End Review Show going all the way back to 2024. I think this is really a fun show. I mean, we love, you know, obviously Box to Row. We do it each and every week and hope you get a lot out of it because it's not just one thing. It's not just sports. It's not just HBCU sports. It's a bunch of things. It's HBCU sports. It's sports in general. It's college sports. It's pro sports, right? And it's entertainment as well. Talking with entertainment guests. It's all of that. So I hope each and every week you get something out of this program and it's entertaining to you also. And we appreciate your support of Box to Row, whether it's been for 3 weeks, whether you're a new listener, perhaps for about a month or so, those that listen to us in Bermuda on Hot 107.5 FM, however long you've been listening, as always, thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. So we are in the month, as our listen back, we were in the month of March. Our last conversation on the other side, or our listen back, was with WWE superstar Nia Jax. Also in March, another WWE superstar joining us, main event, Mr. Yeet himself, Jey Uso. Yeah, no doubt about it. I know you've got your sights set on a lot of different things. But could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something, it be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Luz. I got to go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself, if I should say.
You are. Yes, you are. You are. I mean, you should have had that Intercontinental Championship. You had a tag team championship, a couple of months ago. Kind of fell apart a little bit.
Yeah, man. I think Jimmy was involved in that too, man. You know? I don't know. I mean, I'm losing count over here, D. I mean, I don't know no more. I'm losing count. All I know is we're going to have to take it to the backyard again like we used to. You know what I'm saying? You want to step outside right quick? You know? That's what's going to happen, man, in front of the world to see.
So what do you remember about those days at West Alabama? And I think what's interesting is you didn't play with these guys, but a couple of alum that came out of West Alabama include Tyreek Hill and Malcolm Butler, both Super Bowl champions.
Let's go, man. I mean, I guess champions coming out of UW, you know. Hey, there were some ballers out there, though, man. I mean, I appreciated it. I mean, we from Pensacola, Florida, same high school as Emmitt Smith. Derrick Brooks from Pensacola, like Roy Jones Jr., Smoke Gainer. There's a bunch of professional athletes, man, coming out of Pensacola. So it wasn't a water, though. But I do remember it taught me to – I grew up at West Alabama, man, just being up from playing under a hard coach, man, a hard-nosed coach, which I still holler at him to this day. The tools that I learned there, it sticks with me today, and I use them through wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to be disciplined, dude. So yeah. I loved it, though. If I didn't go through them 5 a.m. trainings, man, the kids know, though. Like, I don't think I would be sitting here.
No doubt. A couple of last thoughts. I don't know. Are you up on your WWE 2K24 ranking? Are you satisfied with it?
Man, I think I was a 90 last year, bro. I'm like, come on, dog, and level it up, boo. Like, oh man, what man? Come on, dog. Y'all see this? This is in the game now.
Right.
Come on, man. Give me a 91 or something. 92, boo. Come on, bro.
So what are you at though? I hadn't seen it.
Man, I think a 90.
Okay. Oh, you're at a 90, but you were a 91 last year. I got you. Okay.
No, I think I was a 90 last year and I'm still a 90 this year.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Like, okay. I ain't level up.
Right. Right. Right.
Come on.
Yeah, I think they got to do better than that, no doubt. You know, last thought, again, coming to Raleigh, man, we're excited about that, and we can watch you each week on USA. The reign as WWE Tag Team Champions with your brother Jimmy, 622 days, which is a record. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, it meant the world, right? Because, I mean, I say this with all truthfulness, man. when me and my brother first stepped in the game, the tag teams were kind of at a low. You know, this is like 2010. Like they was putting together singles guys and making them tag teams. I think we was the first ones to come in legit as a straight up tag. I'm talking about matching gear and all. You know what I'm saying? It meant the world though, because I knew that's what we set it out to do, was to be the best tag team in WWE history, man. And my heart's full of joy, man, that we finally did it. It took us damn near 15 years to get it, but we got it, man. And then we just leveled up some more. So, I mean, we still got goals planned ahead. It was, I'm trying to be, you know, if we have this family reunion, we could be tag team champs again, Lewis, and then it might be a real problem. You know what I'm saying? So it means the world, man, to have the accolade under me.
And the bloodline, or the original bloodline, has come back together. As a matter of fact, main event, Jey Uso, Mr. Yeet himself, joining us back in March here on Box to Row. Continuing in the month of March, one of the breakout stars from the show, BMF. I tell you what, Katie Ann White plays the role of Angel in BMF, one of the breakout stars of the program. She also joined us in March right here on Box to Row. I was looking, you know, doing some research prior to this conversation, and I saw an old Facebook page. I believe it was your page. Now, you were a surgical nurse before you started acting? Like, you know that Facebook page is still up, right? Did you know that?
Oh my gosh, no. Oh Lord. I was in the medical field before, because I'm really good in science. I've always been like that. I'm born to Jamaican parents and they're very old school. So, I mean, they always like pushed me like to go to school for nursing, go to school. And I mean, it wasn't really something I have a passion for. So, I mean, I was doing that, but took a little detour, you know, yeah. Took a little change. I mean, I'm a natural with performing arts. So honestly, my heart is in singing, acting, dancing. And I didn't want to go through my life and like just regret ever even trying. And it's crazy because I moved to Atlanta and within a few months got an agent. And then my first role was recurring on Greenleaf.
Katie Ann White became one of the breakout stars on BMF, has led to so many other potential and projects actually that she's working on right now in her career. Lastly, in the month of March, Brian Poor, the head men's basketball coach at West Virginia State, this past season just completed his 25th season as the head coach of the Yellow Jackets. You know, Brian Poor and I have been talking probably going back to almost the beginning of Box to Row 05, 06, 07, etc. Had a chance to really talk with him about what it means to him to coach his alma mater, but also about sort of the ebbs and flows of the Yellow Jackets program over a 25-year career.
For sure. Yeah. And you're right. We, you know, I got the job in 1999, in the spring of 99. I was an assistant at Marshall University and took over this program, and, you know, it took us 4 years, but in 2003, 2004, we won our first regular season title. And then, like you say, we kind of rolled all the way up until about 2011, was preseason number one in the league almost every one of those years, except for one, I think. And then we hit some, you know, some down times. And I attribute that to a couple things. One, we had some injuries, and at the same position, like 1 year, I think we were on our fourth point guard. And so you can't control that. But the other thing, you know, I feel like we didn't recruit character enough. And so we didn't have a good locker room, you know, and I was kind of spoiled, if you will, from 04 to 2011, and felt like, you know, hey, this team chemistry thing, it just happens, man. They just come in here and buy in and it just happens. And that's not the case. I mean, you've got to recruit character, and then you've got to cultivate that locker room and make sure that the locker room, you know, they're getting along in there and they want to play with each other and for each other. And so I kind of went back after a few years down, kind of went back to, hey, you know, that guy might be a little bit better player, but this guy fits our locker room better. And so, you know, we started recruiting character a little bit more. And then we've climbed our way back up the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. We've been in the top four in our conference with a chance to win it each year. I think we've won 20 games 3 straight years. So we've climbed right back up there. And, you know, to your point with the transfer portal, I've never had a problem with kids wanting to transfer. So I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is the timing of it. You know, ever since I got this job, when the season went in, I would give the kids 2 weeks off. And then after 2 weeks, we would have an individual meeting and we would talk about the year and what, you know, he needs to work on and improvements and all that. Well, in that meeting, the first thing I asked them is, do you want to return? Because if you don't want to return, here's your full release. You can transfer. I'll help you and go. Because I don't want you here if you don't want to be here.
Oh, Coach Poor, I think
they are letting kids transfer all the way up until June 15th. And so, you know, I think that's just really difficult for us, and puts you in a bind at times when it's that late. So I just wish the transfer portal would, you know, set an earlier date, maybe 30 days after the season ends, to make them go ahead and make their decision whether they're going to be in or out, and then we can go on and fill our spots.
What does it mean to be the head men's basketball coach at your alma mater?
It's an unbelievable blessing, and I said it in the press conference, and I'm also a faculty member here, and I teach a class, Intro to Sports Management and Physical Education, and I tell them and said it in the media day, man, I never, ever, ever get up and say, sheesh, I got to go to work, ever. It's just a blessing to be able to get paid to do your hobby, basically, of the game, and to be right here in my hometown. This is where I grew up, and like you say, I'm a graduate of West Virginia State. And so when my parents were alive, they were able to come to all of our games. And same thing with my wife's parents when they were here as well. So it's been really, really special to be able to have the longevity that I've had here at West Virginia State. So, I really appreciate our administration who had the belief in me and has stuck behind me. I still got a few years left. So I'm nowhere close to a curtain call yet.
Nowhere near a curtain call. A couple of back-to-back 20-win seasons for the Yellow Jackets. Brian Poor, again, 25 seasons as the head men's basketball coach at West Virginia State. You've got it locked to Box to Rose 2024 year-end review show. I'm your host, Donald Ware. On the other side, we get now into the month of April and beyond. Keep it locked to Box to Rose.
The nice people in the suits are making some uncomfortable looking faces. Too much fun on the air and not enough revenue generation. So we'll take a pause for the cause and come back with more of the very best of From the Press Box to Press Row. And if you're just joining us, you can always catch up where you'll find every single broadcast. BoxToRow.com, a service of DW Communications.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. It's a great story, and I'm just having fun, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually, really fun. Like, to be honest, had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So, how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. I was able to get that done, and, you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop. And it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
He sent in Atlanta, told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and just focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. We're back here on Box to Row. It's the 2024 year-end review show. I'm your host, Donald Ware. I said we were going to move to the month of April. We will. One more conversation from the month of March and in the WWE superstar space. Damian Priest, of a WWE superstar, also joining us back in March right here on Box to Row. Speaking of that Money in the Bank, like, we have, that's the thing. Like, I sort of forgot about it a little bit. Like, you know, any plans for that upcoming?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
But of course, there's a plan, and everybody knows the plan. You know, it's just a matter of when. I have till July, so I'm not necessarily in a rush. I'm still going to wait for the right time, right moment, and right champion. So it's a lot of people, like you said. You know, I almost forgot about that. Yeah, and you're going to be reminded big time when I do cash in and successfully. So it'll remind everyone in the moment and shut a lot of people up.
That is the voice of Damian Priest. And I'd be remiss if I did not call him Senor Money in the Bank. We talk about all the other things in terms of the Judgment Day, which is big time. He's a tag team champion, but he's also Senor Money in the Bank. He joins us here on the program. Speaking of that Money in the Bank, like, we have, that's the thing. Like, I sort of forgot about it a little bit. Like, you know, any plans for that upcoming?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
But of course, there's a plan, and everybody knows the plan. You know, it's just a matter of when. I have till July, so I'm not necessarily in a rush. I'm still going to wait for the right time, right moment, and right champion. So it's a lot of people, like you said. You know, I almost forgot about that. Yeah, and you're going to be reminded big time when I do cash in and successfully. So it'll remind everyone in the moment and shut a lot of people up.
All right, fair enough. So take us through, you know, kind of growing up. You were, I mean, I would assume you were a big wrestling fan as you were kind of coming up.
Yeah, no, I was raised in Puerto Rico initially. So in those early years, that's where I really fell in love with the business. And then when I moved back to New York with my father, I used to go to the Garden, Madison Square Garden, to every event that WWE would have, you know, live events, you know, pay-per-views, you know, whichever event that we were holding there, I would go. And I was just, I mean, obsessed. I was one of those fans. I was obsessed with the business. I wanted to be, for me, it was like, this is, I liked comics too growing up. So this was like live action superheroes and supervillains. And that's all I ever wanted to do. So when I was old enough, and a buddy of mine, you know, that we came up together, and he would say, oh, we'd always dream about, you know, talk about the dream. And one day he was just like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, went to a school, and I was like, wow, I'm doing this superhero supervillain thing. And it's one of the coolest things. And I'm still very much a fan.
Yeah, I know a lot of people say you've got this great voice because you do. So you've got a, you know, certainly a career after wrestling, right? But now, but I'm just saying, right? Like, I read where, okay, like you said, you grew up, you were born in what was it, Bronx specifically?
From the Bronx, yeah.
Okay, from the Bronx, then moved to Puerto Rico, where you grew up for the first, but once you came back to New York, you didn't speak any English. So, you know, kind of talk about that, man, and just kind of having to kind of get back into it. And look, like I said, man, you got a life in the TV booth after your career in wrestling.
No, yeah. So, I mean, it was a good, easy transition. Going to the Bronx, I mean, you're basically in Puerto Rico part two. It's all Puerto Ricans that speak Spanish in the area, you know? So it didn't really, it wasn't that difficult, but, and I picked up English pretty quickly. I mean, even at home growing up, you know, my mom would speak English, so like I could understand it. I couldn't speak it very well at all. I couldn't read or write. So that all came, you know, going to school. My father making me watch Wheel of Fortune to learn how to spell, like stuff like that. And I picked it up pretty quick, though. You know, I think when it's always easier when you're younger to pick up another language or whatnot than it is when you're older. So it worked out for me pretty easily. But it was definitely odd. And then going from just Spanish to then just English and then kind of almost forgetting your Spanish. And now I get to use it a lot more than since I can remember. So, you know, because obviously the company gives us a platform and I love representing my culture. So I do a lot of, you know, stuff in our community where I have to speak Spanish, and it's come back a little bit. I don't speak it perfectly still like I used to, but it's come back somewhat.
No doubt about it. Couple of more thoughts with Senor Money in the Bank, Damian Priest, who joins us here on the program. Let me take it from right there. You talked about really the diversity. That's what I want to get to in wrestling. A lot, you look at a lot of Latino wrestlers, LWO, the diversity in WWE. Look, I came up watching WWE. It was cool, but I don't think it's been ever as diverse as it is now. Can you kind of speak to that, and particularly as a Latino, where there's a lot of Latino representation in WWE?
I'm proud to be here at this era, you know, where it's not about what you are and what you look like, where you come from. It's, are you a star? Can you do this? Let the best get the opportunity. And I love that mentality. It's not just handed to people just because it's, we're all equal. And I love the fact that, like you said, the company is so diverse now. And I love the fact that minorities are just thriving in this company. And I'm proud, you know, because that was the one thing that I was always adamant about. It wasn't just for Puerto Ricans. For me, it's everybody should be proud of where they come from. Everybody should be proud to represent where they come from and show the world and educate, you know, and that's the big thing. I think that is the more we educate people on our own backgrounds, the more people are aware and accepting. And I think that's always been a, maybe that's been a case of a problem where we weren't educating enough. And I think now with, you know, there's so many events all year round for every culture that we get to celebrate, and WWE accepts that, you know, WWE is very accepting to celebrate cultures and backgrounds and whatnot. And you see that with also us doing PLEs all over the world now, more often, which is also exciting. I love it, and I'm proud to be here.
Last two thoughts. What were you doing before wrestling?
I was working in clubs. That's just, yeah.
Were you a bouncer?
I used to manage some clubs, and I used to bartend and do things like that. You know, whatever, you know, a lot of odd jobs and whatnot, try to stay afloat. And then towards the end, I did bounce a lot. Obviously, that was the easy gig that I could get anywhere.
Sure.
You know, just basically trying to make money so I could eat a meal the next day. That was me for a long time. But, you know, so up until I made it, it was a struggle, you know, and I made it really late. It took me a long time to get here, but I wouldn't change anything.
At that time, Senor Money in the Bank, Damian Priest has had a really, really nice career and really had a big 2024. So that was March. Let's move to April. And we had a chance to catch up with one of the rising stars in country music, Raina Roberts, one of the few black country singers, joined us back in April. Right here on the program, had a chance to ask her about working on Beyonce's project, Cowboy Carter. You know, as I mentioned, you were part of Cowboy Carter, which everyone is talking about, whether you're in country music, outside of country music. Everybody's talking about this. And in particular, you were on the song Blackbird. Now, I know you can't speak specifically to that, but can you speak to working with Beyonce, maybe who she means to you?
I can talk about the fact that Beyonce has been my biggest inspiration and my favorite artist, like, essentially my whole life. And for her to not only have me a part of her project, but not like with her putting me on her project, that means I am now also part of her story. And that is like the biggest compliment that I can think of coming from her, especially because her music and her artistry has always impacted me, and it's shaped my voice, my music, my artistry, and my vision. I feel like, I mean, I'm just incredibly grateful, especially where I'm at in my career. She didn't have to choose me. She didn't have to give me her platform or have anything that's happening right now. Like, she didn't have to do it. So I'm grateful that she believes in me enough and in my voice enough to have me a part of her story.
Country music singer Raina Roberts joins us here on the program. It was, a matter of fact, a couple of other young black women that worked, you know, on this project as well. Speaking right. of such, being in this sort of in this game, and I think Rhiannon Giddens said it right. We had her as a guest on this show. You know, country music is black music. Right. And I think a lot of people don't really understand. That's why this uproar with respect to what Beyonce is doing. You know, sort of for you, what does it mean to sort of be part of that? I don't know if I want to call it a reclamation, but the fact of the matter is, you know, there are quite a few black country artists and yourself, you're on the rise.
Right. I mean, I knew that going into it when I went to Nashville, like, I want to say maybe close to 5 years ago. I didn't know the history of country music, and I didn't see anybody that looked like me, but I would say that didn't really faze me, because my mindset was, even if I don't see anyone that looks like me, I can be the first, and hopefully I can make a change being in this space and by being authentically myself and doing what I love. And I feel really, really excited and really grateful about this time, because I have so many friends in country music, like Brittany Spencer and Willie, and a lot of artists that are on the album, which is really awesome. And the fact that we're able to have this moment together and experience it all together just makes it so much more special, because we've known each other for, like, I've known Willie for, like, I don't know, 5 years, probably. I've known, five or six, actually, Brittany for maybe four. And just getting to experience all these things together is really special. It's different when you're doing something, like, by yourself, but it's a completely different feeling when you're getting to do it with friends and people you love and having this special moment that's happening for all of us in our lives at the same time.
Country music singer Raina Robert. We still have more of Box to Rose 2024 year-end review show. Keep it locked.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
All right, enough selling stuff already. Let's talk more sports as we bring you the very best of From the Press Box to Press Row. Here's your host, Donald
Welcome
Ware.
Welcome back to Box to Rose 2024 year-end review show. And so we're moving through this thing. This is the last segment. Hope you've enjoyed our listen back at some of the great conversations we had in 2024. We're still in the month of April. Also joining us in April on the program, Morgan Price became the first HBCU gymnast to win a collegiate national championship. Of course, Morgan Price of the Fisk University gymnastics team joined us on Box to Row shortly after winning that national championship.
It means everything to me. It really, like, shows why I decided to come to an HBCU. I really wanted to just inspire the younger generation so that they know they can go to an HBCU as well and win competitions, no matter how big or small your school is.
You know, I have to laugh. You say the younger generation. You're only 18 years old yourself, right? So you're, like, I know what you mean, though. I get it. Younger girls that are coming kind of behind you. So I was reading where you had committed, as a matter of fact, to the University of Arkansas, decommitted from Arkansas to join the new program at Fisk, which started last year. Kind of talk about that and what led you to want to attend Fisk University.
Yeah, so I've done the sport since I was 2 years old, and as I've grown up, just, you know, living life, I realized the importance of, like, being able to attend and graduate from an HBCU. So I've always wanted to go to an HBCU, but at the time, I didn't have the opportunity, so that's why I committed to Arkansas, because I was like, okay, if I can't go to HBCU, I do want to be in the SEC, big powerhouse school. So that's why I committed to Arkansas. But then as soon as I saw that, like, Fisk was starting a program and it's like 30 minutes away from my hometown, which where all my family lives, I just felt like it was the right decision for me. And also the decision was, like, more than just, like, choosing a school for college gymnastics, it was, again, to, like, inspire the younger generation, but also to, like, let people know that just because I didn't go to, like, a big-time school, like, I can still win and compete against, like, other top schools.
Fisk gymnast Morgan Price on winning the national championship as she joined us back in April. Lastly, in the month of April, PJ Morton is a super musician. He's the keyboardist for Maroon 5. He does his, he's got his own label. He is a superstar musician. Great music coming from PJ Morton. He's a Morehouse man. As a matter of fact, had a chance to catch up with him back in April to talk some Morehouse and some sports. Morehouse, got to talk about the Morehouse days. I'm a Morgan man. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, HBCU is all good.
Nah, we unite. We unite. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, so what do you remember about those days?
Oh, man. Well, those days are super fresh in my mind because I got a freshman at Morehouse. My oldest son, Ja'Kai, is a freshman at Morehouse. Okay. And, man, I got to go and tour the campus with him again. I got to move him into his dorm and show him where my dorm was. I mean, it's super fresh right now. I hadn't been on campus in a long time. But, like, just because this just happened, that mystique is real. That HBCU thing is real. I felt it all over again. Like, man, just being around like-minded people, people who want to grow and people who can identify with you, teachers who care about you. I mean, I can't recommend HBCUs enough, man. It helped to shape me. Of course, Atlanta was just super instrumental in my music career too. So like just being around there, I look at Henny the Business and like we were making beats in our dorm rooms and like, you know, he went on to produce for Drake and I'm here. And like, it's just a beautiful thing finding those, even at a liberal arts college. We weren't a music college, but I found my guy. You know, and that's what happens on those HBCU campuses. And to see my son, Ja'Kai, there right now flourishing and like going through the same things I did. And man, it's a beautiful thing.
No doubt. Were you there? Because Isaac Keys was before you, John David Washington after you. But were you there with them together? You could have been.
Yeah, John David came, I think, either my junior year or senior year. Yeah, because they were trying to link us up. You know, they were trying to link us up, you know, anytime somebody's son or something.
Oh, right,
you know?
Right, true.
But yeah, and Denzel was around. So I was there. It might have been my senior year when he came because he was playing ball. He was playing football. So I remember one of those homecomings because Denzel started coming around, you know, so you could feel that. But yeah, so we were there at the same time.
Very cool. Yeah. So now you're doing music for Disney's Tiana Bayou Adventure. Talk about
that's
that.
Right.
It's a history making thing for you,
man. It's a big deal. I mean, if you've been to Disney World or Disneyland and you know about the ride that they just closed, just slipped my mind, but they're replacing it with Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So we know that it's going to be there at least 30 years or so, you know, right. And first Black composer to have a song on a Disney property. First Black character to have an attraction, you know? So, I mean, this is a big deal all around. And the fact that it's like a New Orleans Bayou theme makes it even more special for my legacy because I got to pull in family from New Orleans and like all my friends and have them be a part of this. So New Orleans really is well represented on this ride and it's premiering this summer and then Disneyland will follow.
I can't let you get away without talking about either the Saints or the Pelicans or, you know.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I know that was a tough
day. I mean, it's hurt. We're a little sad right now.
Yeah.
With Ryan.
Yeah.
Because he was balling out, too. I mean, the boy had 40. We still had time. We had time. We had tied it up. It's just not fun for the story, man. It's just like, come on, at least give us a real shot. Be able, you know, let's have a real look at it. So that's sad. My Saints, man, we're rebuilding right now. You know, we trying to figure it out. We trying to see what the right fits are. I think we went through that. We still have been dealing with that since Drew Brees left and then Sean Payton. So Yeah, but I believe, you know, the thing about us, the Saints, you know, it's like I lost my whole life. So it's like, it's nothing. The winning is the rare part. So we going to ride. We've been riding this long. You know what I'm saying? I didn't win. We didn't go to the Super Bowl till I was a complete adult. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing. We going to ride like we are the number one team every year. Who that all day long? It don't matter to me. I'm going.
Yeah, you know, because the NFC South was really for the taking last year. This year, wow, not so much. The Buccaneers are the champs. You got to figure Atlanta's going to be better. Carolina's going to be somewhat better. It's maybe another tough season for the Saints this year.
Could be, man. You know, something about that losing every year and getting hope every year is got short-term memory, man. I don't know. I think we're gonna be incredible, like I always do. You know what I'm saying? So whoever it is, especially the divisional games, because we just don't like each other. So it don't matter how good you are. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna play each other differently. You know what I'm saying? Like you could have, you know, we and our Super Bowl is beating the Falcons every year. So as long as we do that, we good. We got bragging rights, and I can relax. You know.
PJ Morton joining us back in April. Moving to the month of May, Shawnee Henderson joined us on the program. We had a candid conversation with Shawnee, of course, the former wife of Shaquille O'Neal, and had a chance. She had a new book coming out. We had a chance to really have a really good conversation with Shawnee Henderson. A quote was taken that said, quote, "Looking back, I don't know that I was ever really in love with the man," meaning Shaquille O'Neal. And you mentioned that it was taken out of context. How so?
Well, in the book, I talk about how I now am in love with someone and I'm experiencing a love that I've never felt before. So in hindsight, I didn't feel the things that I feel now. I had no idea that I wasn't in love because it was no way you could have told me that. And again, in the book, I talk about that. You know, what I thought was love, what I thought was being in love, at such a young age, that's what I thought it was. And now that I'm experiencing someone loving me the right way, me loving them the right way, a partnership, just all the aspects of love and being in love, I now realize that I wasn't in love before.
To your point, I think context, and I say this all the time on my show, I think context is super important. So I'm not going to speak to this because I haven't really watched Basketball Wives, if I'm honest with you, but I would ask the question. I have read where there's been some criticism over the years, and maybe not as much lately because of where we are in terms of reality TV, that it portrays Black women in a certain light. What do you say to that?
Well, again, I discussed that in the book as well, and my experiences of that happening to me. And I think at the time, you know, one of my experiences I discussed in the book is with Essence, going to Essence Festival, and I experienced that firsthand. But I think that, you know, folks love to criticize. And every reality, I don't see Basketball Wives doing anything else, anything foreign that any other reality show is doing. Mm-hmm. And again, the point of it was to give every woman a platform to have a voice. What they do with that voice on that platform is their own personal decision. I'm just providing the platform, and I cannot, you know, depict who or what you are going to be or say. But here's the opportunity for you to have a voice, for you to make some money, for you to do the best with this moment that you can. And what you choose to do with that is on you.
Basketball Wives creator, entrepreneur, etc., Shawnee Henderson joining us back in May. Look, that's all the time we have for our year-end review, but this is only part one. We'll have part two next week right here on Box to Row. Have a Merry Christmas. And again, I'll talk with you on next week. And always remember to support those that support U-Box Toro is produced by DW Communications.
A new and glorious morn.